welcome to another great episode of Six Flags Blues Radio. I'm your host, Ken Palmer. I am the Dream Business Coach, and this is the podcast where you can learn how to create your dream business so you, too, can live your dream lifestyle. I'm the founder and creator of the Dream Business Academy and the Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program, and I coach entrepreneurs and small business owners at all levels to build the business of their dreams so they too can live their dream lifestyle. Today's episode is brought to you by Dream Business Academy. It is a three-day live event. The next one, our seventh one, I'm sure that all six have sold out so far, so this will be, I'm sure, number seven. It's taking place in Providence, Rhode Island, September 27th, 28th, and 29th, right on the coast. This is a marketing and business building event where you will learn how to build your million-dollar platform, and so you too can create your dream business. Learn more at dreambizacademy.com. That's dreambizacademy.com. By the way, there's early registration discounts, and if you use the coupon code podcast at checkout, you'll save $100 off early registration, so that's pretty awesome. Dreambizacademy.com, use the coupon code podcast, and just get $100 off the half ticket price already. Really excited about this week's show. My special guest is entrepreneur and fellow business coach consultant, Terry Ogburn. Let me briefly introduce Terry, and we'll jump right in. Terry Ogburn is the renowned owner and lead business coach of Ogburn's Business Solutions. His proprietary coaching system and personal devotion to the development of others has contributed to the success of hundreds of small to large business ventures. Terry began his business career in 1979. Holy smokes, Terry, when he invested his last $118.42 to start an air conditioning service business. At the time, he had no car or truck, but he did have the knowledge and ability to build relationships, and that is the key to every successful business. Terry successfully sold his air conditioning service business and was later asked to join Uniglobe Active Travel, director of operations, to boost individual store performance. And within months, he took the store to a $2.5 million travel agency. He then took the program national to improve performance organization-wide. In 1994, Terry became a founding member of EXA Travel International and took on the role of Director of Training and Development. Within 2 years, the company grew to 11 regional offices with over 2,000 franchisees, and they went public in 1996. In December 2005, Terry chose to return to his true passion, which is helping independent entrepreneurs and small business owners plan, launch, and develop their business. Terry, I am exhausted reading your intro. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I always like, you know, sometimes people actually say, Jim, you introduce or you interview coaches as well. Don't you feel like that's competition? I mean, there's, I guess, realistically, there's competitors, but I think this is such a big world, and I don't proclaim to know everything, and if I can interview someone like you and you can share a nugget or two and my audience benefits, I think that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. So first thing I have to ask you, though, 1979. My goodness, you're probably almost as old as I am. I graduated high school in 1976, so you're about the same age or probably older than me.
I'm 66, Jim. Well, I'll be 66 in just a couple days, May the 22nd.
Well, according to your picture, you don't look 66 at all. So you're like me. You got a boy howdy face. I'm almost 59, but people think I'm about 42 most of the time, except when I'm punched over with a bad back. But anyway, so Terry, tell us about your entrepreneurial. I'm always curious about the entrepreneurial gene. Were your parents entrepreneurs, or is that something you developed? Is it like I was the first one to go to college? Were you the first one to start a business in your family?
Yes, sir. My dad was military. So growing up in a military home, we had chores, we had a work ethic, that type of thing. But my dad put me out on the street early in this world, selling Christmas cards, newspapers. You know, I had a paper route at, you know, 10, knocking on doors, selling subscriptions, that type of stuff. So I guess if you ask my dad today, he's 97, and if you ask him, he would say, you be careful, he's a salesman. And he's trained me to be a salesman, so
he's quite a man. You know, the most successful business –
First of all, your dad's 97, did you say?
Yeah, he's 97. Just turned 97 in February of this year. And a year ago, Jim, he was in congestive heart failure and decided to put in a pacemaker. And it freaked my sister totally out because they didn't ask her if it was okay. And the doctor said, he is competent and coherent. We don't need you. So they went on with it. So, he gets around.
That's
he's got
really
his little
amazing.
Walker thing.
That's so cool. Yep. 97. You know, I know you're familiar with Stephanie and I, our big adventure here. And so for the last year, we've been meeting with financial planners and trying to get our whole house in order. And all the things count on us living to 95 or at least planning for it. And I might have to readjust up to 97 because that's evidently still possible. So, your dad's right. You know, the most successful business owners are natural salesmen or people who really have the sales gene as well. I mean, if you can have a business, you can have a fancy office and nice business cards, but if you don't have revenue, which means you're not selling anything, you don't have anything, in my opinion.
And I would concur with that, with a mix of good infrastructure too, because you can bring in sales, you know, cash flow doesn't mean you're making a profit. So we have to have a pro forma, we have to have a budget, we have to have some forecasting and thing. And I think that's what separates a lot of the businesses is the fact that they do forecast their budget and their expenses and things like that as well.
So I was reading where you had a big part in turning around some pretty big names that we know of, Radio Shack, AT&T Wireless, Century 21 Real Estate. Pick any one of those. I'm curious as to how you got involved with one of those companies and what's involved in turning around a business like that.
We'll start with Radio Shack. It was kind of a fluke. It has a pretty good story. I went in to get a part. I was going to get involved with Web TVs. I don't know if you remember Web TV. Bill Gates bought Philip Magnavox and that kind of thing. And so I went into Radio Shack to get a part. And the manager there basically got me an interview with the regional manager there. And next thing you know, he asked me if I could, do a turnaround store, and I said, sure, give me the worst store you got. And he gave me this store in Margate, Florida. It's a little town close to Fort Lauderdale. Coconut Creek is on one side, Terramar is on the other side. The average age was 77 years old in that neighborhood, and they had this Radio Shack electronics store there, and it was failing, obviously. So I went in there with my system, my process, and in 6 months we had it profitable.
Wow. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going to say, then they said they found the second worst store, this, and they didn't tell me this part, but the lease was going to run out on the store in 180 days. And so they put me in there, and I went in there in March, and the Christmas decorations were still up, Jim. And the store was not set up to planogram, and everything in retail is all around the planogram. And so I had to restructure the store, hire associates, new ones, and get the new momentum going, put my system in place, and we actually had it turned around in 120 days, and then they told me that they were going to close the store in 180.
So if my math is correct, the store ran profitable for 60 days?
We didn't turn profit until about the last month, so about the 90 days we were – first 60 days was about structuring, and then we started moving forward. And in May of that year, I became the sales manager of the month for that store, and in June we were profitable. And
wonderful.
That was 6 months now. That was profitable at the end of the quarter, or which would have been a half year.
Right. So to show you what a good listener I am, I know you've mentioned your process at least twice now, so I'd like to ask you about your process. What can you tell us about your turnaround process?
It's basically common sense. It deals with a business development plan, which is the foundation. It's basically five pages of just fundamentals, just basically how you would set your business up. It was borrowed from the E-Myth, Michael Gerber's E-Myth, and I restructured it. I've been told many times, Jim, if I would have created the octopus, it would have 9 legs, because I got to tweak it my way. And then inside, we create a strategic plan based on the job descriptions. I call them position contracts because I actually use the job description more as a contract. It's negotiable, and it changes quarterly. So as we find out one person excels in one area, they can switch the task around. The tasks become the strategic plan, and then you grade that, and you sit and grade with your the associates or the employees or team members. And the important thing about that is when you're grading your own self, you're harder on yourself. So sitting in front of your superior, you kind of talk over the numbers and you get the grading correct. And then in the compensation section, you can reward what gets done. So by graduating the numbers up, then you can give them an extra day off or more money or whatever you want to do there. And then we take those lines in there and we create checklists that are, again, unique from the standpoint we set the objective, the purpose, the tools needed to complete the checklist, and then the time it would take to complete the task, and then the step-by-step method on making it come out. And then we hand it to the person with the lowest level of skill. Doesn't mean that they're be like me trying to create an email address. You'd want me to be the one that could follow through that process. And we use a tool on the internet called the Gunning Fog Index, and then that tells us if it's written at the 8th to 10th grade level. And then from there we go into budgets, performas, policies and procedures, a direct marketing plan, and then a social media marketing plan.
Wow. Holy smokes. I know you're also you also have some expertise in goal setting. It seems that depending on where you're reading or social media are involved in, obviously a lot of people kind of talk about setting goals around the first of the year every year, but is goal setting still in vogue, I guess? I don't know the right way to say it, but I'm guessing you're a big fan of setting goals, right?
I am. I do mine a little different than most people. One, only 3% of the people actually have written goals. Harvard Business School did a goal study story about this, and I use that in my program. The idea is that when you write your goal, usually people will state an objective. They'd like to get this accomplished. So what I do to help get this moving forward is establish a purpose or a why behind that. So why am I going to do this objective? And then add a result to it so it actually becomes the outcome. And I borrowed that from Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich from the standpoint with a desire backed by definiteness of purpose produces success. And then if you know what your success is, and that comes from Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Green and Clean. So he showed his son what the yard looked like if it was done like he wanted it, and then that gives the person a realistic picture of what their goal is. And, of course, I believe in vision boards and things like that as well.
Hmm. You know, when I went to school many, many moons ago, I think when we were thinking about goals and business plans, there was like 1, 3, 5, and 10-year plans. My own personal opinion, I think it's pretty hard to have concrete, well, maybe revenue goals for more than 1 or 3 years. I mean, things are changing so rapidly. What do you think about that?
I agree. But we first have to understand what we would like our personal life to look like 5 years from now, and I hope you would agree with that. And that's like your vision on the boat and things. Then you have to chunk it down to 1 year, okay? And then this is where my system becomes unique because I created a rolling year. So that means because of the way technology and the way we move and how fast we do, I only want my clients to set 90-day goals. Okay, and so then at the end of the 90-day period, we stop, evaluate, grade our success, and we grade our strategic plan on 3 things. We grade it on the revenue that we were seeking, the priorities that we had set at the beginning of the quarter, and the strategic plan, which is the task that needs to get the primary aim done, which is the overall goal. And all three of those, when they're done correctly, those numbers should come within a half a point of each other. And if they don't, then it'll dictate where your problem might be. Let's say the money goal isn't where it's supposed to be, then we fell down in our marketing. If the priorities are done and none of the tasks were done, then we didn't accomplish the mission from that standpoint. So all three numbers should come together within a half a point.
Are you a fan of business plans, or are you like the generals who say a good battle plan is history once the first bullet is fired? Do you do a lot of business planning? Or
yes, I concur. Business plans are the lifeblood. In fact, if I may share, about a year and a half ago, I was approached by an attorney, an immigration attorney, for a client coming into the United States on an EB-5 visa. Two companies, business plan companies, had written a plan, and they both failed with the Homeland Security. So I was contracted to do this, and so I went to a little town in Florida called Sebring to find out what was going on down there. Bottom line was, we wrote the plan, submitted to the Homeland Security, and actually passed their scrutiny, and which put me, from what I understand, is in the elite 5% of somebody that could pass Homeland Security's business plan concept. So money is the lifeblood of a company, and it's easier to get that money with you if you have a good infrastructure and you have a good plan in front of you. And when I actually get the client to write the plan with my coachings and my trainings, for the reason, if they get in front of the bank and or the lender, and I'm not a big fan of going to the banks, but I'm a fan of private money. So we don't want them to have to say, well, wait a minute, let me call Terry. So I want them very immersed in the writing and making sure they can answer any questions that the lender or the private individual would want to ask them.
How can a small business owner who may have 3 or 5 years, or maybe actually kind of new and has a little bit of a track record under their belt, but they fully recognize the need for an influx of cash, whether it be for more marketing or inventory, whatever, what tips might you have, Terry, about writing a funding plan? And what do you see as good sources of funding for small business?
The first thing a good investor is going to be looking at is, when do I get my money back? Okay, so this comes into the marketing side of it. Most times when people write a business plan, they really write a sales and marketing plan. I'm not a big fan of that. What I am a fan of, though, is understanding your market, and that most people, depending on your business, if it's retail, you're going to go around. They're not going to go travel outside a five-mile radius. So you have to understand your market, where you're going to go with it and get it. And then you have to project that with a good, solid marketing plan, so to speak, whether it's direct marketing or social media, how it all ties in together to produce the numbers that you're looking for, because everything is around the numbers. The lender wants his money back in 3 to 5 years, so you got to have a good plan to show them how they're going to get a return on their investment. They're not going to be very apt to loan you money if they don't see, you know, their money back in 3 to 5 years. The places to go, most people have in their Rolodex a connection inside that 25-person database of the person either that will be willing to loan them money or have the resources to help them get the money. Now, real quick story with the money we did in Miami, we started by borrowing $50,000 with the concept of just paying the interest, and then by the time we got our structure together, we would find another person that would loan us $100,000 to pay off the $50,000, and we ratcheted that up for over 2 years. We ended up borrowing $5 million, but we sold the company, or the company went public with an IPO of $13
million. Good for you. I know we're starting to run low on time, but I definitely want to ask you about time management. I know you help busy entrepreneurs, time-starved small business owners with time management. Can you share some tips with us on that regard?
Sure. In fact, I use this one quite a bit. I've been in business now 11 years. So you know, as a coach, you have your coaching schedule all set up. And, you know, in 11 years, 52 weeks, my question to you would be, how many times do you think that in all those coaching schedules that I was able to stay on track in any one of those weeks?
Zero.
Exactly.
Would be my
you
guess.
Know it. Well, it would be, and you know, because things happen. You know, just you can't control other people and their and the things that they go through. And I had a coach, a podcast set up with a mutual friend of ours on Facebook, and 30 minutes before the show, he got sick and he couldn't make the show, so we had to reschedule. You just can't, you know, you can't predict those things. But what's more important, from my point of view, is managing yourself. So if you, in fact, I have a time management recipe or a program that I want to offer to you and your listeners, where I will spend 1 hour of my time face to face with them and show them my secret to managing and controlling their time. It's very easy if we let go of the fact of trying to become good at time management and just learn to control the 168 hours that we have, and we do that based on the priorities we set in life, whether it be family, friends, giving, work, doesn't matter. We all have roles, and within those roles we have goals.
Well, that's a generous offer. Thank you. Can you maybe share one of those gems that you'd share in the hour call? Let people flip
sure.
a little bit.
Okay, sure. One of it is time blocking. It's an old concept. The idea, though, that when you block off your time, that this is one of the things that we implemented in Radio Shack, is people forget to close their day. So that means that you sit down and take a realistic look at what you have accomplished for the day. And I have three questions. What did you do right? What did you do wrong? What could I have done better? And what you do is you start to see the interruptions in life. So phone calls, some businesses have 2 hours a day worth of interruptions, some don't, whatever. But anyway, then when you're putting your schedule together for the next day, and this is the secret, when you put it together, take the time to see how many minutes it needs or how long it's going to take you to do the list, you know, the thing on your list. Okay. Then when you see that you have 2 hours worth of interruptions every day, it's consistent, then quit trying to book 8 hours worth of work. Because what happens is most people take their to-do list, it starts overwhelming, starts getting bigger and bigger because they don't get things done. Then they get all stressed out. My belief is there's nobody's tired, they're just stressed. So what happens is you or me come home, the wife says, hey, let's do something. You say, no, but I'm tired. I've worked hard all day. And then one of our buddies call, want us to go do something, and then all of a sudden we can go work on their air conditioner or we can go help them in some way. And you're like, where did that tiredness go? Well, really wasn't tired, it was just stress. So we can be exhausted. I agree with being exhausted, but I don't agree when we let overwhelmingness take over our life.
Very cool. So why don't you give everybody your website, how to connect with you, and if there's a special way that you want to make your offer available, why don't you go ahead and do that?
I like to keep things very simple. My website is terryogburn.com, ogburnsbusinesssolutions.com. There is a bunch of S's in there. And to get a hold of me, it's just all they have to do is email me at wtogburn@aol.com. They just send me a simple email. We'll connect, and we'll get them set up.
Great. Hey, Terry, thanks. It's been real fun connecting with you. I really appreciate your time today.
Oh, and I appreciate your time, and continue on that great journey that you've started. That's going to be one great ride.
I appreciate that. Yeah, after 400 and something miles, I'm happy to be tied at the dock for a while because my God.
And I also was kind of fun.
Yeah, go ahead.
My apologies. I stepped on you. My totally apologies. But I wanted to comment about the dog. Isn't it Blue?
It's Blue. Yeah, our black lab.
And the plant in the corner type thing. That was funny on your video.
Oh, the tour. Yeah, that hasn't worked. But actually, not to go off too far off track here, but we're in a marina where it's floating docks, and Blue can easily get on and off. And they're also cement, which is kind of weird, floating cement. But it's so stable, he thinks he's on land, because it's a decent walk from our boat up to the land. And at 5:30 in the morning, you know, that's a lot for me. But I can just literally get off the boat, and he'll pee on some hose or something, and we'll get back. I'm sure that's more than everybody wants to know, so I better wrap it up. But I appreciate your well wishes. Hey, folks, thanks for being with us this week. Thanks to the Dream Business Academy for sponsoring the show. Once again, get $100 off using the coupon code PODCAST at checkout at DreamBizAcademy.com. Thank you to my editors and my assistants, all the Dream Team members that I have that just make my day so enjoyable and make me look so good. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Until next week, another great show of Stick Like Glue Radio. You take good care.